Will you please turn to Gospel according to John? John chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 22. John chapter 3, from verse 22 through verse 30. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he abode with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near Salem, because there was a great deal of water there. And they came to him and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. There was therefore a reasoning of the disciples of John with the Jew about purification. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, he baptizes, and all come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given him out of heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices in heart because of the voice of the bridegroom. This my joy then is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Shall we pray? Lord, we do want to thank thee that thou hast allowed us to gather together unto thy mighty name. We do praise and thank thee, knowing that thou art here with us. And now, Lord, do speak to our hearts. We give thee all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. In the past two sessions, we ask two questions. Who are we, and why do we so gather? Now this morning we would like to ask the third question. What is our testimony? What is our testimony? The emphasis is not on my testimony. Although my testimony and our testimony actually are one. But our emphasis is more on what is our testimony. We, whom the Lord has called out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. We who are gathered together unto his name, what is our testimony? The Apostle John, no John the Baptist, he was sent by God. He was a voice in the wilderness. And when that voice was raised, it electrified the whole nation. People just flocked to the wilderness to hear the voice from God. He called them to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. This is not the time to play around. This is the time of serious business. The kingdom of the heavens is coming. You need to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to repent. The nation of Israel is called to repentance. And then he practiced baptism with water as a symbol of their repentance. people came to him to be baptized. And he told them, you need to produce fruit for your repentance. It is not just going into water and be baptized. You need to produce fruit. His message was powerful. People began to wonder whether he is the coming Messiah. They even asked him this question, are you the Christ? Now, brothers and sisters, success and popularity are great temptations. People's heart can be deceived by success and popularity. It may make a person forget who he is and begin to think that he is what people want him to be. It is a great temptation. Are you the Christ? But thank God, John the Baptist did not lose his head. He knew very well, and he acknowledge and deny with humility, I am not the Christ. Not only that, but I am not even worthy to unloose the thongs of the sandal of one who is mightier than I and who is coming. Then one day, Jesus came and asked to be baptized. We usually think that the one who baptizes is greater than the one who is baptized. I wonder if the enemy tried to tempt John and say, look, here comes Jesus to be baptized of you. How great you must be. But John was in the Spirit. When Jesus came to him, somehow he sensed in his spirit, here is one greater than I. Now, of course, physically speaking, John and our Lord Jesus were cousins. Whether they have ever met or not, we don't know. But surely John knew about Jesus. And yet he sensed in Jesus a spiritual superiority. So when Jesus came to be baptized of him, immediately he said, no, I cannot baptize you. I need to be baptized of you. Before you, I'm unclean. I need to be baptized, to be washed by you. And the Lord said, allow it to be done, to fulfill God's righteousness. In other words, in the economy of God, at this certain moment, God was calling his people to repentance. And those who repented was to be baptized by John in water. That was God's way for the moment. And all who responded to the call of God came to John and received the baptism of repentance. But here was Christ Jesus. He was sinless. He knew no sin. He did not need to be baptized. And yet, because he was to be our substitute, he was to be made sin for us. Therefore, in the economy of God, for all righteousness, as representing the sinful mankind, he had to be baptized. He did not baptize for himself, but he baptized for the nation of Israel and for the whole world. So after our Lord Jesus mentioned this, John was humble enough to baptize our Lord Jesus. In doing so, his eyes were opened. Because in the first chapter of John, it said, John said, I do not know him before. In other words, he did not really know who this Jesus was. He knew this was his cousin. He sensed a moral superiority in him. But he really didn't know who he was until he said, the one who sent me to baptize told me, when you see the Holy Spirit descending and made his abode on that person, this is the one who shall baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him. After he was baptized, coming out of the water, I saw the Holy Spirit coming upon him as a dove and took up his abode in him. Therefore, I testify, this is the Son of God. Instead of being tempted to think that he is greater than Jesus, as a matter of fact, he received more revelation of who Jesus was, the Son of God. Jesus began to baptize people. The Bible said he did not do it himself. His disciples did them. And John was also baptizing people, because it was before John was put into prison. And many people came to the Lord Jesus to be baptized. One day, the disciples of John had an argument with a person on purification. And they came to John. And he said, the one whom you witnessed before, now he is baptizing people. And they're all going to him. How subtle is the enemy. Throw the disciples of John trying to instill something into the mind of John. A spirit of jealousy. The one whom you testified, he baptized more people than you do. Thank God John rose above so gloriously. He said, unless it is given by God, no one receive anything. Did I not tell you openly that I'm not the Christ? It is the bridegroom that has the bride. I am the friend of the bridegroom. And when I hear his voice, my joy is fulfilled. You know, in the old days, not like today, in the old days, marriage are usually arranged and have go-betweens. And according to the Jewish custom, it is usually the friend of the bridegroom that did all the negotiations. The friend of the bridegroom will represent the bridegroom's family, will go to the bride's family, make all the arrangements and the negotiations until everything was settled. And then came the day of marriage. So when the friend of the bridegroom heard the voice of the bridegroom, in other words, the bridegroom has come to receive his bride, his joy was full. His mission was accomplished. And now he is ready to fade away. So he said, he must increase. I must decrease. I'm just a voice. Now the voice fades away. For a person has come. He overcame the temptation of being jealous. The greatest temptation that John the Baptist had was after he was put into prison by King Herod. As he lingered in the prison, he heard the report of what our Lord Jesus did, how he healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame walk, even the dead raised from the dead. He heard all these reports about the Lord Jesus. And there he was lingering in prison. He sent his disciples to ask the Lord a question. Are you the one that we are waiting for? Or are we to wait for another one? Now, brothers and sisters, he who has received such revelation of the Lord Jesus, how could he ever question whether Jesus is the coming one or whether they shall wait for another person? Did John lose his vision? Lose his faith? I don't think so. But why did John ask such a to me, I feel probably, even though John had received great revelation about our Lord Jesus, and yet somehow, John was like the other Jewish people. He was still blinded by their traditional concept of the Messiah. We know this happened not only to John the Baptist. This happened to the disciples of our Lord Jesus. Because with the Jewish people, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. But their expectation of the Messiah was to come to overthrow the Roman yoke and make Israel the greatest of the nations. That is their concept of the Messiah. John felt that he did a good work in pioneering. He opened the way, prepared the way for the Lord. And he was faithful. And because of his faithfulness, he was put in prison. And here, the one whom he testified, he was healing the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, preached the gospel to the poor. He was doing all these things. When will he restore the nation of Israel? How could he allow his forerunner to linger in prison and do nothing? What will be his place when Christ shall claim the nation? Where will he be? In other words, he began to wonder about himself. What will be his place in that restoration of the kingdom of Israel? So he asked his sent his disciples to ask a question, just to stir up to do something for him and for Christ himself. And the answer of the Lord was, go and tell him what I am doing. Yes, that's what I am doing. You do not understand. Before anything physical can be recovered, there must be the restoration of the spiritual. You do not understand. That there will be the calling out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. A nation, a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for a possession, a church. You do not know that. It's a mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages. It has not been revealed. You are expecting the kingdom of God to come right now on earth. It will come. But before that, there will be the gathering of God's people as a holy nation, one people. Therefore, that's what I'm doing. Go to rest. And when the time comes, you can rise up and have your lot in the ends of days. I believe because of this, John was not offended. He was nearly offended by the Lord because the Lord did not do what he expected him to do. But by the word of the Lord said, blessed is he who is not offended by me. And John, I believe, with his revelation of the Lord Jesus, he was willing to put his trust in him, not understanding what had happened. Thank God, John resisted all temptations. And he rendered to the Lord a clear testimony. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I wonder whether the revelation that we receive of the Lord Jesus ever exceed that which John has received. The revelation and the testimony of John the Baptist concerning our Lord Jesus is all inclusive. You know, as a matter of fact, you'll find that John, he often testified against himself. In his testifying for the Lord, he said, I'm not Christ. I'm not even Elijah. Though he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And our Lord Jesus even said, now if you believe in him, then Elijah has come. And yet he said, no, I'm not Elijah. I'm not a prophet. I'm lower than a slave girl, so far as the Lord is concerned. I am not worthy to unloose the thorns of his sandal. Dear brothers and sisters, if we want to testify of the Lord, we must testify against ourselves. This is the way to exalt him. He must increase, I must decrease. He is the bridegroom, I'm only the friend of the bridegroom. He baptized with Holy Spirit, I only with water. I'm nothing, I'm just when the voice passes, it's gone. What is left is the message, not the voice. John testified of the Lord as the Lamb of God. After our Lord Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit of God to the wilderness to be tempted. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted in every aspect, every way. And he overcame. He came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 1, he said, on the morrow, that is the morrow after he came out back from the wilderness, he came back to John. And as he came to John, John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. From the Garden of Eden, through the centuries, the fathers, the patriarchs, and the nation of Israel, countless lambs were offered. But here is the Lamb of God, the only Lamb that God had prepared to take away the sin of the whole world. That is his testimony of our Lord Jesus. He testified that this Jesus is the Son of God. I saw the Holy Spirit descending and took up his abode in him. This is the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, people in the past had no idea that the Messiah is the Son of God. They had no idea that the Lamb is the Son of God. They had no idea. But John received revelation to see that the Lamb of God is none other but God's only begotten Son. Because He is the only one who is spotless, who is qualified to take away the sin of the world. And John testified that He is the Christ, He is the Messiah. So far as His person is concerned, He is the Son of the living God. So far as His work is concerned, mission is concerned, ministry is concerned, He is the Christ, the anointed one of God, sent by God to complete the work of redemption. He alone is able to do that. The Christ. He testified of our Lord Jesus as the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who can baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And join us into one body. His body. And through that body He continues to do and to teach, even to this time. He is the bridegroom. He came to this world to seek for His bride. He couldn't find His bride. Just like Adam in the Garden of Eden, when God brought all the animals, big and small, high and low, before Him. He named their names, but He couldn't find His counterpart. The same thing happened to our Lord Jesus. He came to this earth to find His bride, but there was nowhere to be found. Sinners, rebels everywhere, but no one that answered to Him, to His life, to His character. And God had to put him to death. Adam was put to sleep and received a bloodless, painless operation, and out of his side took out something. And God made, construct a woman. Bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. His like, his counterpart. So when he woke up and God led Eve to him, he looked at Eve and immediately he said, "This is me." And they're joined into one. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus came as the bridegroom, looking for His bride. Nowhere could He find His bride. So God crushed Him on Calvary's cross. Because of sin, it was a painful death. And out of His side came out blood and water. And God used that to create His church. His light, His counterpart. What a testimony. Complete testimony. John has testified of our Lord Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, what is our testimony? We who are redeemed of the Lord, we who are chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for a possession, the body of Christ, a new man, holy habitation of God, What is our testimony? Do we testify of ourselves? Paul said, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I do not preach myself. Brothers and sisters, we are here as His people to set forth the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In the eternal purpose of God, He has raised up His church, that through His church, the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies may be made known of the manifold wisdom of God. We are here not to testify for ourselves. We are here to testify the one who has redeemed us, who has baptized us, who has gathered us unto Himself. We do not preach church. We preach Christ. Sometimes we have to give some teaching concerning the church. But the church is not our message. The church is not our center. Our message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We present Christ to the world, not present ourselves. It is a serious error to put the church above Christ. He is the one whom we testify. Who is He? The testimony of Jesus is our testimony. The church does not have her own testimony. Just like the church does not have her own teaching. The Roman church said, the church teaches. That's heresy. The church has no teaching. Only the teaching of Jesus Christ. The early church, they persevered. They continue in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. But remember, the teaching of the apostles is the teaching of Christ. What the Lord has taught them, they taught. The apostle Paul said, I give to you that which I have received. Only one teaching. Many apostles, one teaching. Paul does not have his own teaching. James does not have his own teaching. People think that the teaching of Paul and the teaching of James, they contradict each other. If you receive Romans, you reject James. If you receive James, you reject Romans. Even Martin Luther, who claimed that Galatians is his wife. He is wedded to it. He used Galatians as his sword for Reformation. But when he read James, he said, it is a letter of straw. You cannot fight with it. But brothers and sisters, the apostles do not have their own teachings. If they do, it's heresy. They taught what the Lord had taught them. So, it is the teaching, not the teachings. Only one teaching, the teaching of Jesus Christ. The apostles do not have their own fellowships. The fellowship of the apostles. What is the fellowship of the apostles? Not that I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Cephas. No. They don't have their own fellowship. They fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And they report what they have received to us, that we may have fellowship with them. We are called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, God. In the breaking of bread, why is it so important that we break bread together? Because we are in communion with His blood and with His body. And we are in fellowship with one another as one body, one bread. Prayers together. With one accord, in union with our head. Brothers and sisters, the church does not have its own testimony. The church does not draw people to themselves. They point people to Christ. That's why we are here. We exist for His testimony. Who is He? In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, our Lord Jesus said, I'm the first and the last, the living one. I become dead, and lo, I am alive forevermore. And I have in my hands the keys of the death and of Hades. This is the testimony of Jesus. First, it is God's unchangeable, eternal will that His Son shall have the first place in all things. First place in your life. First place in my life. First place in everything. That is the will of God. The preeminence of Christ. The first place of Christ. This is our testimony. Are we faithful to our testimony? Do we allow Him to be the first? Not only individually in our lives, but corporately. Is He the first? He said, I'm the first and I'm the last. Does everything go back to Him? Everything ends up in Him. He is the sum of all things. That is the will of God. The whole universe is dissipated, disintegrating, falling apart. Loses its center. Loses its purpose. The whole universe is entering into vanity and corruption. and it is the will of God. And it is by Christ Jesus that all things one day will be summed up together. Find its center. Return to the center. Join together in Christ Jesus. He is the last. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. It means that He is all the letters of the Hebrew language. He is the one that spells out the mind of God. He is the beginning and He is the end. Everything originates from Him, and everything found its home back in Him. Now, brothers and sisters, is this real to us? Is this our testimony? Do we begin with Him? Or He is the one who originates? Or do we start something by ourselves? And does everything go back to Him? That is our testimony. Because it is the will of God that the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all and in all. It is God's will that His Son be all and in all. This is our testimony. He is the living one, the fountain of life. You cannot find life anywhere else but in Him. But thank God, He became dead. The eternal Son came to this earth. Life entered into death, robbed death of its power, came out in resurrection power, and holds in His hand the keys of death and Hades. He is the victorious one. He is the heir of all things. He is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. He is executing the will of God concerning this universe. He is coming back to take the world as His. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, brothers and sisters, this is our testimony. We do acknowledge that our vision of Christ is small, is limited. We do acknowledge that even what we have seen of Him, we have not been fully faithful. But brothers and sisters, we have a Christ that we testify to the world. He is our testimony. Because of the greatness of that testimony, it is a conflict of the ages. The Apostle John was in the island of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. Wherever there is the testimony of Jesus, there's bound to be conflict. The enemy is jealous. The enemy hates the testimony of Jesus, because he knows that means his end. So he will use all kinds of ways to tempt, to deceive, to attack, try to destroy the testimony of Jesus. If the Old Testament is a lesson to us, God raised up the nation of Israel and deliver his testimony to that nation. Of all the nations of the world, the only nation that knew God, that God spoke to them, and they were there as a testimony, vessel of the testimony of God on this earth. But how? During the Babylonian captivity, God is no longer addressed as the God of the heavens and of the earth. He was addressed as the God of the heavens. Had God retreated back to heaven? No testimony of God on earth. Brothers and sisters, this is our burden. This is our cry before God. Where is the testimony of Jesus today? The church is supposed to be the bearer of the testimony of Jesus, the lampstand on which the light shall shine. But brothers and sisters, has the lampstand been removed? If we are not true to the testimony, then the word of our testimony is powerless. The bearing overcome the accuser because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. Why? Because when they speak the word of the testimony, it's real. Our burden is that we may be true to the testimony of Jesus. Not only individually, but together. Are we tempted? Because of the greatness of his mercy. Sometimes I wonder, out of billions of people, why God should lay his eye? Why even the foundation of the world, he should choose me in Christ Jesus? Why? Why me? Why is it that grace should come upon me? I don't deserve it. It's pure grace. And then, brothers and sisters, in our time, why the Lord opened my eyes to see His purpose. Why the Lord allowed me to see Him, Christ. Why does He attract me? Why does He constrain me? Why does He show me this way? Why? I'm no better than anybody else. I'm worse. God knows. Many, many who love the Lord, they had not received the revelation that we receive. Many are still in darkness. Why is it God has shown us Christ? Shown us the church, the Christ. Why does He call us to follow Him in this way? Sometimes we may be tempted to be proud of the grace and mercy, truth that we have received. It may come to our mind that it is because we are special. We are the elite. We know more than other people. Pride comes before fall. Wherever there is pride, it will be followed by falling. Brothers and sisters, I have seen many who receive much grace from God, much truth from God, used by God, raised up by God, but somehow pride entered in. We are the people. Sure enough, the hand of the Lord came down. Brothers and sisters, may He deliver us from being proud. There is nothing we can be proud of. It is all of grace. Maybe it is because we are a people who needs more grace. Therefore, He gives us more grace. That should humble us instead of exalt us. Dare we look down upon our brothers and sisters who do not have the same light as we have? They are faithful to the light that God has given them, but we have not been faithful to the light that God has given us. We are worse than they are. God have mercy upon us. The hand of God was heavy upon us in China because we became proud of ourselves. May the Lord keep us humble. The more grace we receive, the humbler we should become. And be faithful to the grace that He has given us. Are we tempted to be jealous? One day, John, the beloved disciple, the disciple of love, he came to the Lord Jesus and said, "We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us." And the Lord said, "Do not forbid him. If he is not against you, he is for you." Brothers and sisters, does ever jealousy come into our mind? We think that God is just with us and not with anybody else. If they do not follow the Lord with us, then they have no right to cast out demons. But unfortunately, demon was cast out. We think that God's blessing should be only with us. But thank God, God blesses wherever He could bless. Are you jealous? God's blessing doesn't mean His approval. People may think because God blessed, He must approve of it. No. Our Lord Jesus said, "One day people will come to Him, and in your name I cast out demons, and demons were cast out." And the Lord said, "I do not approve of you." Thank God He is so great. He blesses if He can find just anything that He can bless. And He will bless it. We should thank the Lord for what the Lord is doing outside of us. He is greater than we are. Thank God for that. But we need to be faithful to what the Lord has shown us. Are we tempted to be offended by the Lord? For His sake, we forsake everything. We give Him the best of our life. We serve Him faithfully. We follow Him closely. We deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. But look what happened. Other Christians, they can love the world, they can prosper, and we suffer. Why? Should He not treat us better than what we receive?
what do we get? Giving up everything for Him. Sufferings, pressure, persecutions, wants, sickness. Are we offended? How many of God's people, how many who love God and gave themselves to Him, one day they were offended. Some went back to the world. Some became doubtful. They wonder, is it worthwhile to love the Lord, to follow Him? Brothers and sisters, are we offended? This is a narrow way. It is a way that is covered with blood. Are you willing to press on? When people come into our midst, are they attracted by the building? Are they attracted by the program? Are they attracted by the singing? Are they attracted by the way we worship? Are they attracted by the good teaching? Are they attracted by the friendly people? When people come into our midst, what do they see? Do they see us? Or do they say, the Lord is in your midst, and they bow down and worship Him? Brothers and sisters, if our gathering together does not give people the impression when they come in and they said, I see the Lord is here, then we fail. We fail in our testimony. We do not want people to admire our building. We do not want people to be attracted to our way of worship or singing. We do not want people just to be touched by our teaching. Brothers and sisters, our desire is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. This is our testimony. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how can Thou trust us, so feeble, so changeable, so unfaithful? How dare Thou trust the testimony of Jesus to us. Oh, we do thank thee for thy faith. Lord, may thy faith lift us up, that we may go on and bear thy testimony until thy coming. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.